God of grace, God of love, God of compassion, thou who didst send thy Son Jesus Christ to die for the sins of humankind. How thankful I am for the privilege to stand behind this sacred desk. How thankful I am, O God, that you have called me to the ministry of preaching. Bless now the message that you've given to me to give to the people of God. May your power fall afresh in this service of preaching, that those who have ears will hear not the voice of the man, but the voice of God speaking through. And those who have the gift of vision, that they may have the spiritual insight to see Christ, him crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected on the third day. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. May it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all the people of God who love God said amen. And those who are not afraid shouted hallelujah. Come on, help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nestled between the party at Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, when a woman took a bottle of ointment, very costly, broke it and anointed Jesus, disciples murmured and complained. And Jesus said that whenever the gospel is preached, this very act of kindness, this very act of compassion, whenever the gospel is preached, because of this action, this woman shall be remembered. And though you complain about the cost and how the ointment could have been sold and the proceeds given to the poor, this I tell you, the poor you shall have with you always, but not the Son of the living God. Nestled between the act of the woman and the denying of the knowledge and of the discipleship by Peter, we find our text. Our text comes upon us because the elders and the chief priests sought a way to find Jesus and to put him to death. In Jesus' circle, there was a man named Judas Iscariot, who would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the cost of a slave. Can I bring it home to us? In every organization, whether it's the church or fraternity or sorority, there's always somebody that's willing to sell you out. Help me, somebody. Even in families, there are those who are willing to sell you out. But thanks be to God that if they crucify you and bury you, God has the ability to raise you from what others do to bury you. We find in the text these words as they come to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And saith unto them, Jesus, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went further a little. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wast they that to answer him. He cometh unto the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, sleeping disciples and a praying Savior. Jesus has taken his disciples. They've gone through the Mount of Olives. They have come to a place that is called Gethsemane. He has shared with them what is traditionally called the Last Supper. He shared with them the Last Supper, the last celebration for them of the Passover meal. You remember the Passover meal, don't you? It is a meal that they shared after or during the Passover. The Hebrew nation finds themselves in Egypt in slavery. God has called Moses. Moses in the wilderness, running because he had killed an Egyptian that he saw beating upon a Hebrew. He finds his way to the desert, finds a family that takes him in. Moses, watching over the flock of his father-in-law, sees a bush burning. Take note that the bush is burning, but is not consumed. I wish I had time to talk about how the Holy Spirit burns in our lives, but does not burn us up. That there is something on the inside, that it is a part of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, that comforter that he promised to send to us, to be with us until he returns. It burns on the inside. And that burning that is on the inside works its way to the outside. It starts burning in a soul, in a heart that is hateful. But as it burns away the hate. And the hate is replaced with love. And so he sees a bush burning. He goes close because of his curiosity. And God says to him, a voice says to him, Moses, 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 take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Sends him to Egypt. As I fast forward, he sends him to Egypt and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. I've heard their cry. I've seen their suffering. And I've come down, I've come down to deliver them. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, no matter what you're going through, help me here. No matter what you're going through, God sends a deliverer. God sends someone to liberate you from the oppression that you're suffering under. He shares that Passover meal with them. The Bible says he takes a morsel, he takes bread and breaks it and says to his disciples, this is my body that is broken for you. Takes the drink and gives it to them and says, this is my blood, the blood of Christ shed for the remission of sins. Can I help you here? Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And so the Bible says that he says to them, drink, because I will not drink with you again until we drink in the kingdom of God. He leaves that upper room. That upper room that is rented to celebrate the Passover meal. He goes with his disciples to the Mount of Olives. And then they come to this place that is called Gethsemane. In all of my travels, on all the years of my travels, thanks be to God, he has allowed Jackie and myself to go to the Holy Land 3 times plus. And each time that I've gone to the Mount of Olives and to the Garden of Gethsemane, the greenery, the beauty of that place remains. It remains because it's holy ground. It remains because God's Son, Jesus the Christ, uses it as a place of prayer. It is a garden. A garden can be a place of joy or sorrow. In the Garden of Eden, the first woman of humankind was deceived in the garden. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed. Jesus comes to the garden, to Gethsemane, not to hide, but to enter into secret prayer. It is in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus seeks God's will for his life. He prays until sweat like great drops of blood falls from his face. His prayer is not to escape death, but that God's will be done. He is in Gethsemane, not to escape death, but to see God's face and prepare himself for the evil that men would do to him. This garden was no strange place to Jesus. He had been there before to pray. Judas and the other disciples knew that where he could be found, and that he could be found there praying. It was his place of prayer. Can I say something to each one of us? Each one of us need a place to pray. It doesn't have to be the church. It does not have to be in your car. It does not have to be in your bedroom. Wherever you think about God and God's goodness to you, that ought to be your prayer place. You can pray anywhere, anytime. It doesn't have to be noon or morning or midnight. For you see, any time you talk with God, just a little talk with Jesus makes everything all right. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody here that had a talk with him this morning and he told you it's going to be all right? Just go on to church. Just go to my Father's house. He'll work it out for you. They knew it was a place for prayer. It is there that he prays and wrestles with God. He has already prayed for his disciples. He has prayed for our salvation. He tells his disciples to watch for the approach of Satan and his team members. Satan comes when we least expect him or her. He or she comes as thieves in the night. He or she comes to steal and destroy. They come with lies and words of deception and words of discouragement. Jesus would not have his disciples surprised, so he tells them to watch. He tells them to watch. Watch while he and Peter, James, and John go a little further. And then Jesus leaves Peter, James, and John with the same message that he left with the other eight disciples. Watch, watch. But rather than watching, they fall asleep. They sleep. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they just need a kitty nap. But can I tell you something? When you are sleeping on God's program, that's when Satan shows up the most. When the disciples of Christ are not watching because they're tired from what they've been doing in the world. Jesus has called each one of these disciples to walk with him. And in walking with him, they've seen him give sight to the blind, make the lame to walk. They have watched him work great miracles and call the devil out of a man among the tombs. And yet they fall asleep. They did not heed the command to watch. Deacon Washington, if there have been soldiers in the army and found sleeping on the job, they could have been put to death. But Jesus goes a little further and he prays. He says to them, watch, watch. Paul the apostle tells us to be ready by putting on the whole armor of God. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, 11, 13 through 18, Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that he may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth,
and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now Jesus prays for himself. He uses the lowest posture and manner of prayer. He kneels down before God his Father in true and full submission. He struggles with the possibility of not having to go to the cross and prays, if it be possible, oh yeah, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but as thy will. Having the assurance that it's God's will, he rises from prayer with a strong resolve to fulfill God's plan for the salvation of humankind. For you see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. When you know God, it's God's will, you can get up off your knees, face any situation or anybody with courage and without fear. Whenever you say to the Master, Master, I put it in your hands. I need to ask a question. Is there anybody here that put the problem that you have or the problem that you had in God's hand? And if you put it in God's hand, did he not work it out for you? For you see, he is a God who makes a way out of no way. When death creeps in your room and you wonder how I'm going to make it, then you hear the words of God saying through Jesus Christ, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Don't know about you, but I had a problem and I put it in God's hand. I had a problem when I was in college and did not have the money to take the exam, but I put it in God's hand. Put it in God's hand. Didn't call the church where I was a member of and said, I need $300 to take the exam. And the secretary said, Robert, you know we don't have $300, but I'll call one of the old saints of the church and see if they got the money. Guess what? I took the exam. I passed the exam. And now I can tell the world that God hears prayers and he puts people in your way to make a difference. Is there anybody in this place that God has brought you out of a situation? So when the question is asked, when I think about Jesus Christ, when I think about the love of God, when I think about courage without fear, when I think about how God has brought us, and the question is raised, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all this world go free? The answer is no. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I bear to death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Jesus rises to meet his enemies. They are being led by Judas, his friend. Judas has promised to betray him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Why did not Judas just point him out to the soldiers of the high priest? I believe that some friends who sell you out want your enemies to know just how close they are to you. Can I say that again? Some people sell you out to your enemies, and they sell you out because they want the enemy to know how close they are to you. Maybe there's not one person in this place that's been sold out by a friend. But I tell you, everybody that kissed you, everybody that hugs you, everybody that touched you, they are not your friend. But thanks be to God that I have a friend named Jesus. He is a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Is there anybody here that knows something about Jesus? Let me tell you about him. He's Mary's baby. He's a son of the living God. He's Joseph's stepson. He is the Savior of the world. Can I help you here? He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily of the Valley. He is the bright and morning star. He's Ezekiel's horse plying in the valley. He's Daniel's rock. Oh, yeah. Hewed out the mountain. And more than that, he is my Savior. Came all the way from heaven down to save a wretch like me. I love the Lord because he is the Lord. He is the Savior of the world. He gets up from his knees of prayer and goes out to meet his enemies. And yeah, I see his friend who said, he whom I kiss, that is the Christ. But thanks be to God that when he kissed him, Jesus knew what was happening. He said, you too, my friend. And the Bible says that they took him. But he had finished his prayer. He had already prayed for your sins and for my sins. And now he goes to Calvary. Can I ask you the question that Jesus asked the soldiers, whom do you seek? And they said, we seek Jesus. And he said, I am he. Is there anybody here looking for Jesus? Is there anybody here looking for the Lamb of God? Is there anybody here looking for the Savior of the world? Can I tell you a little bit more about him? He says, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Can I tell you something else he said? He said, I am the living waters. Can I tell you something else? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can I tell you something else? He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate bread in the wilderness and they died. But I am the bread of life that came all the way from heaven down. He that eateth of me shall never die. Can I tell you something else? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Can I tell you something? He said, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the first and the last. Is there anybody here that want to be an awakened disciple, not sleeping, just waiting for the coming of the Lord? Is there anybody here that want to hear the Master say to us, well done? He comes, he finds them asleep, and he tells them, sleep on and take your rest. He goes back and prays again, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then he comes back and he wakes them and said, wake up now, the hour is come. Is there anybody here that knows something about the praying Savior who will save you? He saved because his grace and his blood flows from the mountain, goes to the lowest valley, reaches to the highest mountain. Don't know about you, but every now and then I come to the garden alone while the dew is on the roses. But he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy, and the joy that we share, no other has ever known. Don't know about you, but because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he prayed for me, I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone because he lives. Thank God that he prayed for me. Thank God that somebody prayed for me. Is there anybody here?
Yes, sir.
That somebody been praying for you. Prayed for you. And because they prayed for you, you're now preaching God's word. Because they prayed for you, you're now teaching. You're now a lawyer. You're now a garbage collector. Because somebody prayed for you. Thank God. Wake up, disciples. Can I say the Second Baptist, we need to wake up. You talk about the pews are empty. That's because you sleeping. You talk about nobody's in prayer meeting. That's because you sleeping. But thanks be to God, there'll be an awakening day. For he shall take, Gable shall blow his horn. He shall blow so loud until the dead in Christ shall rise. Put one foot on time and one foot on eternity and blow so loud till the dead in Christ shall rise. Where shall I be? Where shall I be when the trumpet sounds? Oh, yeah. Our forefather said, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. And when my name is called up yonder. Oh, yeah. When the name is called, I'll answer. Is there anybody here today? You've been a sleeping disciple. You slept through singing in the choir. Got mad and stopped ushering. They're sleeping. Can I tell you something? Wake up. Wake up. Don't be mad at the pastor. Don't be mad at the church members. You wake up. It's all about you. He died for you and for me. He rose for you and for me. And guess what? He's still praying for you and for me. The Bible says he's seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions, praying intercessory prayers for you and for me. Hallelujah. 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 That's it, folks. Don't have no more. But Arnold, I like what Arnold Palmer said, that great golfer. Somebody said, how did you make that shot? He said, when the world thinks that I cannot make it, I talk to the master golfer, and he tells me that I am his own, and I make the shot. You can make the shot. You can accept Christ right now. As our deacons come, when people think you can't make it, you can make it. Hallelujah. We see you coming. I made it. Church is standing, choir singing. Oh, the blood. Come on, church, sing with the choir. Oh.
Reverend Jemison and Second Baptist family. We have coming to us today Mrs. Jean Thomas, and she's coming to us from Macedonia Baptist Church, and she wishes to be a member based on her Christian experience. And we also have Mr. Maurice Barrow, also from Macedonia, and also wishing to be a member of Second Baptist based on a Christian experience. And we also have Charles Barrow, Macedonia Baptist Church, wishing to be a member of Second Baptist Church based on his Christian experience.
Invite Reverend Thomas to come down. This is a part of his family. We invite him to come down. This is his wife. And we welcome Mrs. Thomas as a part of the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. You come sharing with us your Christian experience. So wherever you like to work in God's program here, get up off your knees, wake up, and go to work. Amen. Hallelujah, how we praise God. To these brothers, thank you. We praise God for you and know that you are welcome in the life of Second Baptist. Wherever you like to work, other than being the pastor, we welcome you. Amen. So thank you for coming and sharing with us today. Lord our God, we thank you for the Thomas family. We thank you for their faith and for their commitment to serve you in this place. Honor them, our God, by being in their lives, being where they work, where they live, where they recreate. We pray that you would refresh and renew their bodies and their souls. Thank again for this church that we call Second Baptist. May we be open and receptive to their presence, to the spiritual gifts that they have, and may we allow them to use those spiritual gifts to enhance the quality of spirituality in this body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. Bless them now and keep them in your care. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Sister Thomas, what would you like to work? All right, good. She says she don't know where she want to work, so we're going to put her in a Sunday school class. So we want us one our Sunday school to come grab her. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Young men, where you like to work in the church, wherever we need you, wherever you need, wherever we put you, huh? Good, welcome, good to have you, good to have you. Thank you, thank you. They'll see you back to your seats, return back to your seats. Come on, church, come on, let's give God a hand clap. How we praise God for the addition to our church. Last Sunday it was Reverend Thomas. Now his family comes to support us in ministry. Remind you that Wednesday night is our Bible study night. Please come out and share in the Bible study. It's not 1 o'clock. Would you please stand? Look at the clock. Is it 1 o'clock? Is it 1? 5 minutes? I'm going to pray myself. I'm not going to ask anybody else to get a benediction. They may take us to after 1. My brothers and sisters, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you. Give you his peace. Peace in your life. Peace in your travel. Peace in your workplace. Peace wherever you may go. And wherever you may go, may you take the name of Jesus with you. For it is in the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, he who prayed for us, died for us, was resurrected for us, and now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. It is in the name of Christ that we pray for your spiritual growth and for your peace and for your healing. And all the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Go in peace. Go in peace. Thank you, choir. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, musicians.